Where's the valet? Hey! Hey, yo! Yo, Red Cap! What up? Do me a favor. Watch it for me.
Don't scratch it.
Alright, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
It's Sketchbook Audio time. That's what time it is. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to tonight's episode of Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, and I have a great show coming right at you. Quicker than Fred Durst can finish this rap. So keep on rolling, baby. All right, we are back. Thank you for rolling on up in here into Sketchbook Audio. That's Fred Durst, the other vanilla rapper, the other Vanilla Ice. You know what? Fred Durst got a lot of crap. I don't know why. I like Fred Durst, and I like Vanilla Ice. I thought he was fantastic. And Ninja Turtles rap. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go Ninja, go. It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, it's priceless. The words themselves speak volumes about Ninja Turtles. Whatever. Hey, you're paid to do something, you do it. And you do it well. And nobody could dance quite like Vanilla Ice. So, you know, whatever. Anyways, thanks for tuning in today. There's a lot of awesome things that I want to talk about today. And we are going to hit hard on the elements of design, both interior and exterior on some cars. And I'm just super stoked to talk to you guys about this. So do me a favor, go ahead and follow this podcast. If you can, I would appreciate it. And you will get weekly updates on all of my drops of new podcast episodes. I'm trying to figure out how to go about getting the music official onto this podcast, so it's not just as boring as listening to me drone on forever and ever about design stuff. So bear with me. We're going to get that fixed very soon. I did manage to buy a couple new products for my office, and some of those include an Elgato Stream Deck, an Elgato video capture card, and video. It's actually like a weird little dongle thing that connects. Look at those. Haven't seen those in forever. Those are AV cables, your audio visual cables. So the white is your audio right, and I think the left is your audio right, and then the yellow is video. If you were a millennial and you didn't know that, you're welcome. That's what I'm here for, to teach. Anyways, so I have all this new stuff, and I'm trying to get it all situated into my office and integrated into my computer. And whilst doing so, I found out that my computer has been running on 8 gigs of RAM for far too long, and I'm a little bit disappointed because I updated my graphics card as well as my processor, and I got all the hot stuff, but not enough juice to really utilize it all, so I'm going to have to go back and fix that sometime soon. Anyways, on to the real business, the real reason why you are all here today, and that is to talk about some awesome new designs. Now, I've mentioned before in the past that the automotive industry has taken a turn a little bit for the worst because of COVID, and we no longer have auto shows, or at least the big ones that we typically look forward to. In fact, NIAS, the North American International Auto Show, just announced that they are canceling the Detroit one for the second year in a row, but they are moving it and combining it to September with the, I think it's called the Bella Corsa, or Bella Moto Bella. They're moving it to the Moto Bella in September, and they're combining it. So what I've heard is that we are going to see pretty much everything we would have seen at NIAS outdoors at the M1 Grand Concourse. So if you are a big automotive aficionado, you love cars, or you're just prone to go to auto shows, then you need to stay tuned for that. I'm going to have more details as they become available. I've actually just put in for my media pass, and we will look forward to seeing whether or not I get that. Because if I do, then I can bring everything to you via Instagram or via anchor.fm, and I'm super excited for it. Other things that I am super excited for are, oh man, bear with me. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to Ford because they picked up the North American Car and Truck of the Year award. Now, it's a little bit different than Motor Trend's coveted COTY Car of the Year. But fact of the matter is, it's a big award and it's a big deal because they got two this year. They got one for the new brand new F-150 that just started rolling off into dealerships. And then they also got one for the, oh, so glorious Mustang Mach-E. Now, I know I've said before that I don't really want to call it a Mustang, but I'm going to just... They label it everywhere as a Mustang Mach-E, so forget it. I'm just going to follow suit with their awesome marketing ploy, and I'm going to call it a Mustang Mach-E. Fact of the matter is, it is a gorgeous car. I think it's well-designed. It's not your traditional, what you would have imagined a electric car would be, which is just like a bubble, something super aerodynamic. Now, don't get me wrong, it is very aerodynamic, but more importantly, it carries over a lot of the elements that make a Mustang so popular and so loved. And that's the thing. The Mustang is a loved vehicle. It is something that is a staple of American muscle. And honestly, without the Mustang, there's a lot we just don't have in the automotive industry. They kicked off what is called the Pony Wars back in 64. And it's just something that's only gotten better over the decades. And I'm super excited to see what transpires from this, because I think Ford is going to start doing something like this to more of their properties. We've already talked about the Ford Fusion. Oh, you know what? Funny story. Before I get into the Ford Fusion, I want to say the last episode, the first episode of this year, which I did on January 4th, I think, I recorded the whole thing with a voice changer, and it just made my voice super high-pitched, and I just figured nobody would want to listen to a podcast with that high-pitched voice. Unfortunately, I had to delete that entire podcast. It was a good hour long, and one of the things I talked about was the Ford Fusion being evolved into a wagon-lifted vehicle of some sorts. The spy shots kind of make it look like a Crosstrek mixed with a little bit of the Ford Edge. And what I see right now, it's not a horrible thing. I like it. But I've known this all along. I knew that, not because I knew internally, but I just had this picture that Ford and GM were going to not wake up and smell the roses, but they were going to see what all of these properties mean to people and how they're going to change them to fit the people's desires. And right now people desire SUVs and crossovers. And now I'm not a huge fan of those. I'm a big fan of hatchbacks and cars, coupes, sedans, sports cars, supercars, that kind of thing. But there is some merit to be had and given to a car like the Mustang Mach-E. And if the Fusion goes in a similar route, then, you know, maybe it could be okay. I just don't want to see a station wagon like the Ford Taurus station wagon from way back in the 90s. Oh, that brings back some seriously bad memories of my childhood where my dad would just yell at me because I was sleeping in the trunk or sitting in the trunk while we went, you know, Christmas shopping or something. It was a bad thing. Not so much getting yelled at, but because my dad couldn't drive very well, sitting in the back seat, just sliding back and forth while the whole back end of that car fishtailed along the highway was enough to be unsettling for pretty much anybody. Yeah, so scarred for life. So we have a couple of these car properties that are going to adapt for the future. And it may be good, it may be bad. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to picture a Chrysler 300 as a wagon. Yeah, if you're thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, Magnum. Bring back the Magnum. If everybody wants crossovers and SUVs, you know, the 300 can only last for so long. Turn it into the Magnum. Bring it back. But, you know, lift it up so it's an SUV or a crossover and make it electric because that's what people want. The people demand their electrification. And people actually are also still in high demand for muscle cars and high performance vehicles. It's going to be a hell of a day when all of those go bye-bye, but that's the way it's going to go. We're still going to see high performance numbers, but we're not going to hear that big V8 rumble. And if we do, it's going to be synthesized or faked or piped through speakers in some way, shape, or form. And so far, not many vehicles have done it well. I will say, if you're wondering what a good electric vehicle sounds like, take a look at the Hyundai Kona plug-in or a fully electric one. It's got great range. It's a great price. It's got some technical failures. They just did a big recall on them. But if it sounds like the Jetsons as it drives by you. It's kind of cool. It's weird. It's eerie. It's creepy. But it sounds like that if the Phantom of the Opera played it. And I'm not even going to be able to try and make that sound with my mouth. Needless to say, it's pretty cool. It's weird, again, and it's unsettling, but it's cool as far as an electric car goes. The Mustang Mach-E, I've driven past it a few times, and I've not heard anything. It's possible that the person who was driving the car turned it off, or they were at too high of a speed for it to matter. The whole purpose of putting the sound in there is because electric cars don't really make any noises. So if you're blind and you're trying to walk across the street, there have been a lot of accidents because blind people crossing the street can't hear a Prius, nor can they see it. I was going to say deaf people, but then I realized that doesn't make any sense. Just shine some bright lights at them, I guess. But you need something to address the fact that some people can't hear or see a, tell if an electric car is coming. So they do these things where they fake sound and they put speakers on the outside of the car to pump or pipe audio outside so people can hear it. But they do it at low speeds. So somewhere between like 5 miles per hour and, well, probably 1 miles per hour. Let's just leave it at that. 1 to maybe 25 miles per hour. So because you're not going to see people crossing the street on a 60 mile an hour highway, right? So anywho, not many cars are making good sounds. So that's what's probably putting people off to make the switch from a muscle car to an electric car. But as far as the power goes, electric cars have tons of power. And we've talked about electric cars and their power range and their instant torque. So let's just skip over that and move on to the next bit. The next thing I wanted to say and to mention was that you can finally go, speaking of power and big numbers and loud sounds, you can now go and get a Ram TRX at your local dealership. Orders have been taken and you can go find one. You can also go and find a Durango SRT Hellcat, both big V8 engines, lots of horsepower, and boy are they loud. But they're kind of a limited time only deal, right? So, you know, we'll see how long that carries out and if the muscle cars are going to have their way for the next, we'll give them 5 years. But I say 5 years because there's a lot of countries and a lot of states that are pushing to get rid of all of those cars and go strictly to gas. And right now, FCA doesn't have any electrified cars outside of the Fiat 500 and the Jeep Wrangler 4xe. Of course, in other countries, they have the Compass 4xe and the Renegade 4xe, as well as the Fiat. I think the 500X now has an electric counterpart, or at least one coming out in the near future. But Maserati is another company that has electrification, but it's a hybrid powertrain, right? Well, so we're all the Jeep ones. But Jeep is the one that's making the big moves to go to electrification. And it makes sense because with that, you know, that instantaneous torque and the ability to balance the weight better with a motor up front and then the motors on the back axle, you have a much better weight distribution and you have more torque. So it's great for off-roading, especially on the low end side of things. So that's what Jeep's doing. We need to see that electrification proliferate throughout the rest of FCA's product line. If they're going to balance having V8s for a long period of time, but you know, it's all going to depend on what each state, if Michigan decides they don't want V8s anymore, and big gas guzzlers, then we might see some problems. Speaking of electrification and electrified cars and sexy little hatchbacks, Hyundai has finally given us our first glimpse, three images of the Hyundai Ioniq 5. What is a 5? Five doors. Four normal doors, because it's like a sedan, but then they throw in a hatch, so it gets a fifth door. Holy shnikes, Batman. This thing is retro AF. I love it. It's got pixelated headlights, and it's got pixelated taillights. It's got the body of like an AMC Gremlin, and it just looks perfect. And guess what? It's a hatchback. I don't care if it's lifted up a little bit. I don't care if it has a little bit more of a size of a crossover. It looks awesome. And it's straight out of the 80s. It couldn't get any better than this. The only thing I could think that's better than this is if the car came with a Skip It, a Bop It, and like 90s or late 80s themed colors on the inside, like the neon pink and the green and the blue and all that stuff. That would make this car just pop. You know what? For all those who are watching on the Instagram channel, let me show you what I am talking about. So that's the tail, the back end, those lights. I think these are 19 or 20 inch wheels, which apparently this is Hyundai's first attempt at throwing on 20 inch wheels on their smaller cars. So that's pretty cool. And I know muscle car enthusiasts are like, haha, we've had those for years. Well, Hyundai is going to try it. And so far it looks pretty good. And then you got your front end. There's another website that I think it's All Car News and a few other ones that have shown like a more brightened version of those images so you can see exactly what it looks like. So go ahead and check them out. I'm going to try and post them on the Instagram account. That's sketchbook_audio. Do check it out because it's a cool car. But I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think Hyundai is wasting their time making a hot hatch, an electrified hot hatch? Of course, I love hatchbacks, so to me, the answer is no, they're not wasting their time. They already have the Kia Soul, and they have a Kia Soul EV, so you put the GT line and the EV together, and you have yourself a pretty sexy car. And the EV is actually already pretty quick, too. I think the numbers are about the same as the GT line. You're just doing all electrification instead of having to drop in premium gas fuel like I did this morning. That sucked. And it also sucked when I was in California when it was $4 and some cents a gallon. So I'm really excited about this car, to say the least. I don't think this could turn out to be a bad car unless they followed in Tesla's footsteps 100% and just gave you a big old screen in the middle and nothing else and a steering wheel. I think, me personally, I like when a car, even if it's an electrified car or an autonomous car, when they still make the car feel like a car. And I think that's probably going to be people's biggest complaint and reason why they don't transition into an electrified car or an autonomous vehicle is it doesn't feel like a car anymore. Now, product designers and automotive designers are thinking, well, we spend so much time in the car anyways because of commutes we go on long drives with our family. So the car should feel more like an extension of either our office or our home office or just our bedroom or something like that, something that we're familiar with. And it's just an easy transition from the home to the car. That's great, but you're still alienating the people who like to drive a car. And if you're going to get rid of all these big V8s and the twin turbo V6s and all of that, and you're just going to force electrified or autonomous vehicles on people, then you're going to have some pushback. You're going to have some very angry people if you don't make the interior of the car feel a little bit still like a car. Now, 30, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, it's a moot point for the most part. People who are being born now are not really going to care. Although they did say that when the millennials came out, when we were all born, they said, when we're old enough to drive, we're not going to really care about a car. We're just going to want it to go from A to B. Same thing with the generations after us. They're just going to want the car to go from point A to point B. False. Statistically, we still want cars. We still want to look good in them. We want them to look good. We want them to perform. We want them to be reliable. All of the things that a car should be. People do care. So I guess the question is, what do they care most about? And if it's fuel efficiency, then the whole interior design is not that big of a deal. But if they care about the way a car looks and the way a car maybe reminds them of the olden days, then it would behoove the automakers and the designers to continue making the cars look like a car. That was the one drawback I had with the Ford Mustang Mach-E, is that it just has, you know, and like the Teslas as well, it just has this little screen in front, behind the steering wheel in front of the driver. It's just a tiny little screen. I think if Ford had put like a little gauge cluster over there, like a shroud, to make it look like it was a gauge cluster and just hide it a little bit, I would have been, you know, drooling over the interior of that car, because it's not a bad car interior. It's a pretty good interior. And that big screen, I like the fact that it's portrait and not landscape like Tesla's. Now, to Tesla, Tesla has the most Spartan interior of any car, period. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I know a friend of mine just bought a Tesla Model 3 and he really likes it. I think it's a great looking car. He got it in the white with a performance package, I believe, and the dual motor, so the extended range. And it looks really good on the outside. Even the seats look really good. But the dash, you know, it's just a big giant computer monitor in the center and nothing for the driver. So there's probably a little bit of a learning curve. There's probably a little bit of getting used to having all of your information now shifted over to the right. And it kind of reminds me, but not in a great way, of the Scion XB, a Saturn, Ion, and a handful of other cars that had the gauge cluster moved right in the center of the IP or the dash. And I had a Scion XB and I actually kind of liked it. The Yaris did it too, the Toyota Yaris. They had everything in the center of the car. And, but I will tell you, it was a little bit distracting because you had to look to the right in order to see it. And I guess it depends on the kind of person. If you're prone to just stare at information and pretty screens, pretty colors, then it might not be a good idea for you. But if you can multitask, we'll say, while driving, then, you know, maybe it's not a big deal. Thankfully, Tesla has enough safety tech that my Scion XB did not have. And you can take your eyes off the road a little bit just to look at that screen. I've not used the Tesla's navigation and infotainment system, so I can't tell you how intuitive it is, but it's just not my cup of tea. I wish the Tesla Model 3 and the Model Y still resembled a car on the interior. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm going to get back to a couple more things that are happening over here in the automotive world. Hello to all the people who just signed in, Jamie and Becky. Thank you for supporting this. There was one. Oh, this is just a quick note, because I'm a big fan of the Porsche Boxster, but Porsche is now celebrating 25 years of the Boxster, and they have a GTS powered limited edition called the Porsche Boxster 25. All I'm going to say is go Google it or go to autoblog.com and look at it and just prepare to change your pants. That's all I'm going to say. It's gorgeous. I want one. Moving on to a couple other tidbits of news that came out in the automotive industry. Cadillac and GM are about to just blow the top off of everything we know about the automotive industry, and in a very good way. Autoblog posted this morning, and I was just staring at it for a good 20 minutes before I moved on to something else. But they CES was happening this week, and that's the Consumer Electronics Show, and it's normally out in, I believe, Vegas. This year, it was turned virtual. So if you're actually wanting to go and look at CES, you can do that from your phone, and you can do a tour of it. Just go ahead and Google CES, and they'll take you to a link, and then you can do a virtual tour of all of the products. One of the products I highly recommend you take a look at is Cadillac's future luxury transportation and the Jeep Grand Wagoneer L. They show some really cool features on those vehicles, and they have this hot new model called the Grand Cherokee Reserve. Think about what reserve typically means for alcohol, and you know it's top shelf stuff. It's that stuff that they got to go in the back and get it and then charge you out the butt for it. So pretty cool stuff. But specifically, I want to talk about Cadillac's range that they're going to start having that's all electric. And they have some weird names to their vehicles, but I'm okay with that because they're kind of artsy in a way. And Cadillac is known for art and science. It's the blend of the two things. Mechanically, they are engineered very well, and they have a great aesthetic. A little bit of mechanical look to them that they used to have. It was very inspired by German design, and then now they have gotten a little bit more organic with their designs. But with these new electric vehicles, they're bringing back the fins. I don't know if you remember Cadillacs of old, and just a lot of other old cars, but a lot of old cars had fins on the back. Cadillac's going to bring it back in a whole new way, and I think it's going to just be awesome. They gave some teasers of a vehicle called the Celestique. There's one of the names that I think is kind of weird, but it's pretty cool. The Lyric is the other vehicle, and then there's a few other ones that I have no idea what they are, but they hinted at them at in these images that they showed on Autoblog and on a couple other sites like CES. One of the vehicles, I think, is basically a autonomous, and I'm looking at the screen right now, is an autonomous like cargo van sort of thing, but a passenger cargo van. So imagine a taxi that looks more like a van, and it's autonomous. It's great, right? There's nobody there to have to listen to talking on their headset. You can just enjoy the peace of, you know, an empty taxi or you and your family and friends. It's almost like being in a limousine. And since it's a Cadillac, it's got to feel like a limousine, right? They also showed off a drone or a VTOL. And I can't even remember what VTOL stands for, but needless to say, if you play Call of Duty, you'll know what VTOL is. VTOL. It's just super cool that Cadillac decided to show off something like this. So it's them thinking about how public transportation will look and personal transportation will look in 20, 30 years. And if it looks anything like this, which I'll post the pictures up on Sketchbook Audio, but on Instagram, if it looks anything like this, I'm excited for it. And I don't even like autonomous cars, but this is pretty cool. Interestingly enough, Bugatti showed off something that actually ended up in a movie, and that was, Matt Damon and Elysium. And they had this personal helicopter jet thing, what you would call a VTOL, and it was by Bugatti, I believe, or maybe Rolls Royce. I can't remember which one, but it was a really high-end one, and it was personal. It was private. It was really cool. It took the private jet and made it even more private by making it for one person. And it was autonomous. So pretty cool. But the Celestique and the Lyric, I think, are just going to focus mostly on the electrification of a vehicle. And I mean total electrification. And then it'll have probably level 2, maybe level 3 autonomy. You're going to get everything from like blind spot sensors, parking sensors, backup camera, the ability to self-park, the ability to call the car, hail the car, if you will. If you're at the mall and you just probably open up your phone or push a button on the key, and the car will come to you wherever you are geographically. It just tracks where your key is, and then it can navigate through a parking lot. Genesis actually showed off something like this in their new GV80, I believe, and maybe in the GV70 or GX. I can't remember what their nomenclature is anymore. But it's their big SUV and their midsize SUV. They showed off a thing where you can just walk your car essentially to a parking spot by holding down a button on the key. Pretty cool tech, but I imagine Cadillac's going to do something similar. They're also going to throw in a totally new version of Super Cruise, which on their Cadillacs now is a really cool feature. It lets you do basic autonomous driving on a highway using adaptive cruise control, but it takes it a step further. It lets you change lanes autonomously. All you do is flip up the turn signal and it'll wait until the right time to merge into the next lane safely. And I believe the next step is to allow them to actually get off on an exit. So if you put in an address on your navigation, it'll do it all for you with some limitations, I'm assuming. But pretty cool features if you're into the whole autonomous thing. Again, me, I like to drive, so I don't really care about all that tech. But it's cool, nevertheless, to see that Cadillac is really spearheading all of this tech, and they're just going to completely revamp their entire lineup to be this this benchmark, essentially, for electrified luxury vehicles. Because there's no other company going all in on a luxury vehicle. Even Ford isn't quite there yet with their Lincoln products. Now, Ford did, we'll say, homogenize all of their naming schemes and the mindset that, yes, they're going to go in that direction, and at least a lot of their vehicles are hybrids, but I haven't seen anything yet for going full electric, whereas Cadillac is. And again, I don't think there's many other automakers that are going all new. Okay, sorry about that. We're back. Had a little skip there. So you have the Ioniq 5 and some other cars like the Kona that they're based off of relatively inexpensive vehicles, but because they have all this electrification in them, you know, they're fully electric, and it just raises the cost quite a bit. Yes, you get those tax rebates and everything, but that's for a limited time only. Now, some states are offering even more incentive to get electrified cars, which is great. I think all states should do it. And I have a funny feeling now that Biden is in, well, will be in, inaugurated next week, I believe. Once that happens, we're going to start to see a much different global landscape as far as electrification. And, you know, for better or for worse. I've already talked about it's going to be sad to see the muscle cars go, but I think the tech is there to make these electrified cars all sound like the cars we're used to hearing. So we'll just have to wait and see, but there's a lot of promise to it. Frankly, I'm tired of paying for gas, but if I could have my cake and eat it too, I would love to have the Ioniq 5 or something similar to it with dual exhaust and a steering wheel and gauge clusters and paddle shifters, or even a stick shift. You can do it. Ford did it with Webasto, I believe. They took a Mustang, gutted it, made it fully electric, and put a stick shift in it. You can do that. The question is, do people want that? I'll tell you what. If you're going to strip everybody from their V8s and their twin-turbo V6s, you bet your bottom dollar they're going to want a stick shift electric car. And if you can do it, cool. If you have to pay extra to get a stick shift now, man, what a funky world we live in. But I would do it. Anywho, so I mentioned VTOLs and personal luxurious transport. Well, here's a funny one that I didn't think I would hear, because Chrysler hasn't really shown any new product with the exception of the Pacifica. Now, it's a great looking minivan, but it's a minivan. And not everybody wants a minivan. My friend actually just bought a brand new fully loaded, I think, Touring. And you know, it's the newest one. So it's got the new taillights, got the new front end, slightly updated, modernized interior. And it looks great. I'm actually going to have a full review coming up here very soon. I'm going to try and put that up on Instagram. I'm going to put it up on YouTube. And then I'll review a little bit over here on my podcast as well, but stay tuned for that, because it's a really nice minivan if you like minivans. And if you're a parent, you might actually want a minivan. Good thing is, it's got all-wheel drive. No other minivan does, especially with the stow-and-go seats in both rows. That's awesome. So again, I don't like minivans, but definitely one you want to consider if you're looking at getting something for your big family. But yeah, Chrysler hasn't shown any new vehicles. Maybe that's because they were waiting to drop this bomb on everybody. And that bomb is, no, the 300 isn't dead yet. However, interestingly enough, while I look for this other thing, the Brampton, Ontario plant that makes the 300 Challenger and the Charger, it is actually on hold for 2 or 3 weeks because they ran out of a chip, a microchip, a microprocessor, if you will. there's a lot of automakers who are on hold now because of that chip. So it's just really interesting to see what's going to happen if we can't get more of these chips. I'm going to have to start switching to chocolate chips or potato chips, I guess. Those are dime a dozen. Hey, thank you, Chobo. I appreciate it, man. Just trying to keep it funky. But yeah, so Chrysler hasn't identified any new vehicles, and I think it's because they were waiting for this one. Chrysler teams up with a startup called Archer to build an electric air taxi. A what? An air taxi, you say? From Chrysler? Holy flaming mother of pearls. I want to swear so bad sometimes, but I just can't because I clicked this little box on my podcast that says clean and not explicit. Sometimes, man, I just want to go off the wall because this is one of those moments. An air taxi from Chrysler. Never would have thought about that in a million years. What I did think about, though, and I actually talked to some of the Chrysler execs a long time ago about this, why not turn Chrysler into the benchmark, the testing dummy, I guess you would say, for all the tech that FCA as a whole will build off of or will receive as it trickles down. Dodge isn't necessarily that brand you throw all this high tech stuff at and hope that it works and hope that it sticks with the public. People just want the Jeep to go off-road and to feel nice. And, you know, if you're buying the Grand Cherokee, they want it to look nice and feel like they made a good choice buying that and not a Lexus or a Mercedes or a BMW. And I think you're making a good choice if you do that. Plus, it's American, right? Buy American. But Chrysler doesn't really have its thing anymore. They used to be that super affordable luxury brand, and they started to get a little bit closer to Cadillac when they came out with the redesigned 300 in, what was it, 2011 or 12, maybe it was 14. I don't remember. I lost track of time. 300s looked the same kind of for a while now, since 2005. So, but once they hit the mark with that car, you know, you kind of thought that, oh, Chrysler will start to make all these semi-luxurious entry-level luxury vehicles, and it would have been great. The Pacifica is a very good example of a luxury car. There's not many cars where you can lean back, have a backrest pillow, and have a vacuum cleaner, touchscreen DVD players in a minivan. It's just, you know, it's a good stab at luxury. The next step is just to make them electrified and then add some tech in there that you would see in other vehicles later down the road. But I think they're going to use Jeep for that to be the test bed of all this tech, like the new Grand Cherokee L, which I would assume the Grand Cherokee 2-Row will have this as well, but it has night vision. Night vision is something that a couple automakers have had for a little while now, including Cadillac and Audi, and I think Bentley and Rolls-Royce. They've had it all too, and it's expensive stuff. But now you're going to be able to get it in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, along with something like the fully digital mirror, which Range Rover has showed. I think Toyota has showed, GM has, a few other car companies have had it. It's just all really cool tech, but I don't know. I just felt like Chrysler should have been the one to do it. Regardless, they are going to come out with a planned electric VTOL, VTOL. Craft would cruise at 150 miles per hour for up to 60 miles. It's not bad. I mean, if you just want it to go from here to downtown Detroit and skip all of the traffic, hey, that's pretty good. I mean, 150 miles per hour for 60 miles. That's nuts. You're going to get there real quick. By my math, you'll get there. My math sucks, by the way. Somewhere between like 30 minutes and 15 minutes. Yeah, 30 and 15 minutes. That's pretty cool. I can't get downtown Detroit from where I'm at in 30 minutes. Yeah, I can. If I went 95 to 100 miles per hour, yeah, I could do it then. I don't know. But the point is you're going to be able to go over traffic. And man, I just can't wrap my head around the fact Chrysler would be doing something like this, but it's cool nevertheless. They did partner with Waymo to bring a fully autonomous minivan. That's pretty cool. Again, though, it's not something that Chrysler is really doing for their brand. So I'm just curious to see what Chrysler ends up doing. I hope they go the way Cadillac is going and just turn themselves around and become this fully electrified brand. and then their tech trickles down to other, to the other brands. Maybe with this new Peugeot deal, it'll happen. Who knows? Another thing I wanted to talk about real quick before I just blow this thing into a 2-hour long podcast is, okay, this is a good one because this could do me in. Hyundai finally previewed the Kona N. If you know anything about N for Hyundai, Hyundai's performance brand, like SRT is to Dodge or Jeep for that matter, the letter N for Nancy, is their performance arm, and it's frigging killing it right now with their performance models. Now, we only have one in the States right now, and that's the Veloster. It's a great car. It's a great budget performance vehicle that has almost endless amounts of potential, and it's definitely worth a look if you're looking for a compact car that goes really fast. But now they have the Kona N. I'm looking at it right now. 2.0 liter turbo 4, which is probably going to be good for anywhere from 240 to 300 horsepower. And if it's all-wheel drive, yeah. I do this because it's Kona. Kona is in Hawaii, and they do surfs up. And yeah. So there's just so much potential with this car. And it's the right size. It's just a little bit bigger than my Kia Soul. And I just cannot wait for this. So take a look on my Instagram. Probably tomorrow I'll have some pictures up. Right now there's not much to see, but I will post up pictures of the GT line because or the N line in their case. Kia does GT and GT line, but Hyundai has N and N line. And tell me what you think, because it's a really weird looking crossover slash hatchback, compact SUV, whatever you want to call it. It's really weird. But if you hear the video that's on autoblog.com, holy crap, pops and bangs galore. If you're into that sort of thing, the Kona N might be the vehicle that you want to go for. And the last thing I want to talk about before I dip out today is this interesting one that I don't think anybody saw coming. But in this day and age, nobody saw anything coming for that matter for the last year. So brace yourselves for this one because actually it's two things I want to mention. Because one died and then came back, so it's kind of a zombie project. And this other one, why? But yeah, Apple has partnered with Hyundai to bring the Apple Car to life. Now, a few years ago, actually, I think it was just early last year, that project was gone. It was done. It was dead in the water, stillbirth. It was never going to happen. Now, I guess, they found a partner who will build their vehicle using Apple iOS tech, I would assume, and maybe their own in-house design from a visual aspect, and we will have an Apple car. Hopefully the car doesn't look like an Apple, but it could, or it could be just like a Tesla with a giant iPad in the center. I'm not okay with either of those options, in fact, but I would be curious to hear what you guys think. And frankly, if you're a designer and you're, you know, an automotive designer or a product designer and you're listening to this, design that vehicle. I would love to see what you guys come up with. Just go ahead and draw something, take a picture of it, scan it, whatever, and tag me in it, sketchbook_audio, and let's see what it looks like. Because maybe your design is kind of what Apple was thinking, or maybe it's something totally different, maybe even better. But I hope Steve Wozniak has something to say about it. And I know he's been out for a minute, but it would be really cool if he was like the guy who said, yeah, that's what it should be. Not the guy who designed the iPhone. I just, you know what? For all intents and purposes, I can't remember who designed the iPhone. That was, is that the guy I'm thinking of? Paul Ive? No. Steve Jobs. I don't remember. But I just never really liked the way Apple's products looked. They have that high-end look if you think that minimalism means high-end. Sure, look at the Tesla. The Tesla vehicles. But it just... it became more of an appliance to me the more it got rid of all of the traditional car features. Again, it's just my own personal take on it. Some people love it, but I just think it could have looked more like a car. The other thing, I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like anyways, because Hyundai has some involvement in it. And maybe they're not just the factory that the vehicle will be built in. Maybe they had some design input. Maybe it'll be based off of the IONIQ 5. It's certainly possible. And I guess the other question would be, what kind of vehicle would it be? Would it be a sedan? Would it be a hatchback? Would it be a compact crossover? Let me know. Go ahead and comment on this video or send me comments. I would love to know your take on that. Now, to another tech company that is making a car. Yeah, they're going to be making a car. That was totally out of left field. Sony. Sony showed this vehicle a little while back, and it was the Vision S prototype. And it just blew everybody's minds because they were just about to show the PlayStation 5. There are all these teasers and these leaks and everything. And then they just, instead of coming out with the PlayStation 5, they showed a car. And it's actually a really nice car. Take a look at it on autoblog.com or just go ahead and Google it. It's the Vision S prototype. It's really cool. And the best part about it is, although it looks a lot like a Tesla Model S, on the inside, it still looks like a car. It's got huge screens all the way around, sure, but it has a steering wheel, a center console. It kind of looks like Mercedes's M-Bucks or BMW's new infotainment system, where it's just this big screen across the dash. And actually, Cadillac's doing something very similar with the Celestiq and the Lyriq. But I like that Sony's made this still feel somewhat like a car, but also be techie. What would be really cool is if this is autonomous, does it come with a PS6? Because I would imagine by the time this car comes out, the PS6 would be available. Or if it came with a PS5, that's cool too. Maybe each passenger would get a, do I have one? It's right here, a PlayStation Vita in the headrest. That would be cool. Just like push a little button, a PlayStation Vita pops out, and then you get to control all of the infotainment stuff with your Vita. I don't know, I'm just shooting the shit out here. Sony, if you steal my ideas, we're going to have a talk. That is copyrighted information. No, it's not. So your take on Sony having a car, would you buy it? They've never made a car before. In fact, the only thing that they've ever done with cars is made sound systems. And the Sony Explode system isn't horrible, but it's not the best. So would you be okay with them making a car? I am. I gotta say, if you take a look at this thing, it's awesome. One thing I really like about it is it's a four-seater. It's a 2+2. The back seats are actually identical to the front driver's seats, which means they feel like a racing seat in the back, and they just hug your hips and your shoulders, and it just feels so good. I like it. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. I know, I will restrain myself because sometimes I get really excited about cars. Anywho, that's all I have for today's episode of Sketchbook Audio. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And next week, I will try and give you guys a heads up. Sorry, I'm such a dad with his dad jokes. I'll try to give you guys a heads up on what's coming your way with a little bit of a teaser, because I think next week we are going to see more and more and more automotive stuff. And I'm super excited about it. The last thing I am going to leave you with, though, is Jeep now has finally made with Lego a Lego Wrangler. And for $45 or $49, whatever it is, it's worth every penny. Next time, next week, when I do the podcast and I do this live stream, I'm going to show you guys my Land Rover Defender. The Wrangler is just better for some reason, and it's not anywhere near as elaborate or cool as the Land Rover or detailed. It's just better, I think, and I don't know why. I haven't figured it out because it's like 1/3 the cost of the Land Rover and probably 1/5 the amount of parts. But we're going to talk about that later. Hopefully I can go and find one of these Lego Wranglers, because I have a funny feeling that they are very popular right now, especially at only $45, $50, whatever they are. So we'll see if I can managed to find one. Anyways, that is the end of Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. You guys are the best part of this show. You are what make this thing go round and round. For those of you who are watching on Instagram, I have added to my page, because Instagram now makes it possible, a way for you guys to support a charity that is close to my heart. In this case, I am supporting the Alzheimer's Foundation, because my grandfather actually had Alzheimer's and he passed away when I was real young. I was 13, 14, something like that. And I remember it very fondly. I remember him calling me in his last few days. He called me by his son's name because I look so much like my dad. And it was heartbreaking seeing him go through that. And I know a lot of people have Alzheimer's out there, or people have lost people who had Alzheimer's. And it's a terrible, terrible disease. And I think we are really close to finding a cure. Some people are saying that CBD oils and other things like that are good for that. I think there's some fruit that they've just found recently that will help rebuild the brain cells that have died off because of Alzheimer's, and they can start to reprogram the brain to function again. So if you guys could, please follow that charity and make a donation. I'm going to try and switch the charity each week and see where it goes. But there's a few that are really close to me, and I would greatly appreciate it if you guys could support those. You support me enough by being a part of this podcast, and I appreciate it. Without you guys, there would be no show. So go ahead and shoot me a message on anchor.fm. Just search for Sketchbook Audio, or you can find me on Instagram at sketchbook_audio. You can also find me on YouTube at that one, the number one, guy, FTW, which stood for the win. I thought I was cool way back when. So that one guy for the win. And you can see a lot of videos about how to do this, that, and the other for your car, like how to install LED light bulbs, or how to install on the inside or outside of your car, how to install an air filter. You can tell me what kind of car you would like me to work on next, and I will work on it for you, and I will show you how to do the things that you are wanting to know how to do. It's fun, it's fast, it's easy, and boy, do I enjoy doing it. Mostly because I like it hearing myself talk, but that's beside the point. My wife said that to me all the time. She's probably right. Thanks for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. Remember, go get your sketchbooks, sketch, 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 and be good to one another. That's what matters. One life. Peace out.